reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 3, verse 96, and we will cover from verse 86 to 96. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. When the rice thrown by Nityananda Prabhu touched his body, Advaita Acharya thought himself purified by the touch of remnants thrown by Paramahamsa Nityananda. Therefore, he began dancing. Purport. The word avadhuta refers to one above all rules and regulations. Sometimes, not observing all the rules and regulations of a sannyasi, Nityananda Prabhu exhibited the behavior of a mad avadhuta. He threw the remnants of food on the ground, and some of these remnants touched the body of Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya accepted this happily because he presented himself as a member of the community of Smartha Brahmanas. By touching the remnants of the food thrown by Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya immediately felt himself purified of all Smartha contamination. The remnants of the food left by a pure Vaishnava are called Maha Maha Prasada. This is completely spiritual and is identified with Lord Vishnu. Such remnants are not ordinary. The spiritual master is to be considered on the stage of Paramahamsa and beyond the jurisdiction of Varnashrama institution. The remnants of food left by the spiritual master and similar Paramahamsas or pure Vaishnavas are purifying. When an ordinary person touches such prasada, his mind is purified, and his mind is raised to the status of a pure Brahmana. The behavior and statements of Advaita Acharya are meant for the understanding of ordinary people who are unaware of the strength of spiritual values, not knowing the potency of the foodstuffs left by the bona fide spiritual master and pure Vaishnavas. So we'll just read from the translations from 86 to 96, what we will cover today. So beginning with 86, Advaita Acharya accused Nityananda Prabhu saying, "You can eat 10 to 20 manas of rice. I am a poor Brahmana. How shall I get so much rice? Whatever you have, though it be a palmful of rice, please eat it and get up. Don't show your madness and strew the remnants of food here and there." In this way, Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate and talked with Advaita Acharya jokingly. After eating half of each vegetable preparations given to him, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu abandoned it and went on to the next. As soon as half of the vegetable in the pot was finished, Advaita Acharya filled it up again. In this way, as the Lord finished half of a preparation, Advaita Acharya again and again filled it up. After filling a pot with vegetables, Advaita Acharya requested them to eat more. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "How much more can I go on eating?" So Advaita Acharya said, "Please do not give up whatever I have already given you. Now whatever I am giving, you may eat half and leave half." In this way, by submitting various humble requests, Advaita Acharya made Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda eat. Thus, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fulfilled all the desires of Advaita Acharya. Again, Nityananda Prabhu jokingly said, "My belly is not yet filled up. Please take away your foodstuff. I have not taken the least of it." After saying this, Nityananda Prabhu took a handful of rice and threw it on the floor in front of him as if he were angry. When two or four pieces of the thrown rice touched his body, Advaita Acharya began to dance in various ways with the rice still stuck to his body. When the rice thrown by Nityananda Prabhu touched his body, Advaita Acharya thought himself purified by the touch of the remnants thrown by Paramahamsa Nityananda. Therefore, he began dancing. So, a very beautiful verse explaining the importance of Mahaprasadam. And we find this mention of Mahaprasadam throughout Srimad Bhagavatam and the Chaitanya Charitamrita. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find how Narada was purified just by eating a little bit of remnants from the devotees who had come for Chaturmas, and his mother was serving them. And Narada mentioned, he remembered in his next life, it is said, when the disciple is very curious, like Vyasadev, and Narada, the spiritual master, wants to educate the disciple in the most, what was the most intimate thing that changed, that purified his heart and made him Krishna conscious. The guru reveals his heart, the most intimate pastime. And you can see that Narada Muni revealed that his heart was changed just by taking the remnants of Mahaprasad of the great devotees of the Lord, just by eating once. We can see that during great calamity, people lose faith in the Lord. I had a friend who used to regularly go to a Hanuman temple. He stopped coming. Every Saturday he used to bring a coconut. Said, what happened? My mother died. So, I lost faith. Why can't he protect? So we can see that in this person, the change of heart did not take place. But when Narada Muni's mother died, his mother was bitten by a snake. What did Narada Muni think? It is an arrangement of the Lord. And thinking so, he left everything and began to search, surrender and search for the Lord. And all this took place just because he ate the remnants of the great devotees of the Lord. So similarly, we find in this beautiful pastime, just by getting touched, Advaita Acharya is showing this great pastime where Lord Nityananda Prabhu is jokingly throwing this rice, saying, I am not satisfied. So Nityananda Prabhu is known to be a avadhut. So avadhut means he is transcendentally liberated. That's why Srila Prabhupada says, you cannot imitate this. You have to be transcendentally liberated. Right? Because in our heart, there are six enemies. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, there are six enemies. And very interestingly, these enemies are arranged in a beautiful way. So what are the six enemies? Kama, Krodha, right? Kama, lust, anger, greed, mother, madness, attachment, madness and enviousness. Very interestingly, it is said that Kama, Krodha. Krodha, anger, contains Kama. So, the next one contains the previous one. So, greed contains Kama and Krodha. The next one, that is attachment, contains Kama, Krodha, Lobha. And madness contains the previous four. And enviousness contains everything. So, if we are envious, means we have every other quality dormant. And it is said the Bhagavatam begins. How does Bhagavatam begin? It begins with saying, Paramo Nirmatsaranam. For whom is this? One who has given up enviousness. That is where it begins. But that doesn't mean he is completely purified. He has to gradually purify his heart. And gradually purify his heart, it is said, and Bhagavatam is designed in such a way that our heart becomes completely purified. And at the end, the first enemy, that is lust, that is any desire apart from Krishna, is purified. So one of the fastest ways of purifying the heart of all these six enemies is, of course, associating with Bhagavatam. But even faster than that is to take the remnants of a Mahabhagavat. Because the humbler we become, the more humble we become, the more the mercy will flow. And partaking of remnants means we accept our position, our humble position, that we need the remnants. We become very humble and we take. Taking remnants of the Lord itself is very purifying. But on top of it, to take the remnants of Mahaprasadam of a devotee, that pleases Krishna more. And by the agency of a pure devotee, the Lord purifies our heart rapidly. And to explain to us this fact, the Lord himself performs such wonderful pastimes. And in this case, we can see Advaita Acharya not even eating, just by touching the remnants, just by getting these remnants touched on his body, Advaita Acharya is feeling ecstatic, is feeling purified. And we can see even our ISKCON movement is built on prasadam, right? So we see all our festivals, everything ends with a nice feast. So in all our Vaishnava festivals, it begins with a fast, right? It's very tough. But then it ends with a feast. So Srila Prabhupada also called gulab jamuns as ISKCON bullets. Right? Devotees used to get attracted just to eat the Mahaprasadam. And all these hippies, they became happies. And when interviewed, all of them said they all were attracted because of one thing, the prasadam. Right? So people come usually in a temple Sunday feast. In the beginning class, there are very few people. Everywhere I go, when I give Sunday feast, they say, people will trickle. Prasadam time, it's full. Prasadam time, it will be full. The maximum people will be there. Why? Because that is a mercy very easy to identify. Very easy to identify. And very easy to get also, the prasadam. But we find that we cannot imitate the Lord. Of course, they can eat. The Lord can eat as much as he wants. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had two qualities, two wonderful qualities. Sometimes he would be very strict as a sannyasi. As a sannyasi, I cannot eat too much. But sometimes he would eat like an elephant. He would eat anything. He could eat as much quantity as he wanted. He's the Supreme Lord. And just like Krishna, and we know the beautiful pastime in Vrindavan of Aniyor. I'm sure most of you know this, where everyone was offering on Govardhan Puja, everyone is offering in Vrindavan, the Lord, all these wonderful preparations, and the Lord is eating all of them. He's eating all the preparations, and the Lord is saying, give me more. Aniyor, aniyor, give me more. So the Lord is eating more and more and more. And devotees are confused. Now they have to cook. And I'm sure all of you during a feast here, I heard one devotee say yesterday, not a devotee, my classmate, I met him after 20 years. And he was telling about this temple. Oh, you went to Watford? He knew I was Hare Krishna. And he was saying that when I came for Janmashtami, this was the most well-organized temple. Everything, including the prasadam, was amazing, he said. He's just a classmate, and he comes just for Janmashtami, just to see that beautiful thing here. And he was glorifying the prasadam. And I was just thinking about this verse, how prasadam touches so many people. It attracts so many people. So the Lord gives his mercy in these various beautiful ways. But can we eat prasadam unlimitedly, uncontrolled, although it is so much mercy? No. Rupa Goswami says, what is the first thing to control? Atyahara prayasascha, right? Eating too much. Atyahara prayasascha prajalpo niyamagraha. But everything begins with eating. Very interestingly, when I was doing my master's degree in yoga, there was a verse in Hatha Yoga Pradipika which said, Atyahara prayasascha prajalpo niyamagraha janasangascha laulyancha shadbir yoga vinashyati. But Rupa Goswami's book says, shadbir bhakti vinashyati. So eating too much, he says, he uses the word vinashyati. So eating too much can be very harmful. Right? That is why Ekadashi is the day of fasting, right? One devotee told me it is the holy French Friday. Right? When potatoes are in unlimited quantity, in pizza, in fry, in boiled, in mashed potato. But is that the purpose of Ekadashi? No. The purpose of Ekadashi is to fast and meditate on potatoes. Fast and meditate on Krishna. So it should be meditation on Krishna. Instead, everybody is busy. Actually, one devotee exemplified this. He was a devotee from Suriname and he joined the Bhuvaneshwar temple. And he said, as in Suriname, when I became a devotee and I heard all these wonderful glories of Ekadashi, I was fasting nirjal. But then he joined Bhuvaneshwar temple. And regularly they have only rice and dal, basically, on regular days. But on Ekadashi, there is boiled potatoes, French fry, potato pizza, then what is that? You boil this, many different vegetables and everything. He said that was the only day we got such a big feast. I stopped doing nirjal. So, we find that what can become an austerity for meditation and purifying the heart instead becomes a feast. So devotees, we need to be very careful that these pastimes are very wonderful where devotees are feeding each other so much prasadam. I was in Pune Yatra once in 2002 and I was serving one devotee. He was on very strict diet and I was hearing very ecstatic. I was very ecstatic serving. I was giving everybody as much as I can. And this devotee I served, he said, No, not anymore. And I was saying, no, Prabhu, it is Mahaprasadam. I served him. Now what you have done, he was literally beginning to curse. That's when I realized that we have to be very careful. It's when you hear the pastimes of the Lord can eat. The Lord can eat anything, anytime. But the devotee needs to be very strict, right? We cannot imitate the Lord. We have to be very strict. Therefore, prasadam means, the literal meaning of prasadam is mercy. And we see in that anyur pastime, when the Lord is eating unlimitedly, every devotee is rushing back to cook, to feed the Lord. And the Lord is eating unlimitedly. And he's not stopping. He's just eating. He's saying, give me more. Everybody is confused. But then Balaramji finally gives him a tulsi leaf. With great love and devotion. And when the Lord eats this tulsi leaf, that's when he becomes completely satisfied. So the most important ingredient when a devotee cooks or what we eat is with what love and devotion we are eating. It's just like chanting. The mood with which we should eat should be just like chanting, because it is Krishna. Like we end up watching our phones, right? Mostly today. Or we end up chatting. Of course, devotees talking transcendental is fine. But it's very important to meditate what you're eating. It is said half of your digestion takes place when you concentrate on the food. This is not me saying. This is scientists saying. Because when you concentrate on when you talk too much, when you take your attention away, not just about prasadam, but when you take your attention away, your digestive process slows down. So even when you eat, if you concentrate, whatever you do, when you do it with a lot of concentration, it gives you the maximum result. So it is said, how should one eat? Hari Bhakti Vilas explains, how should one brush Sanatana Goswami says, if you brush properly, you will not have any disease. When you wake up in the morning, if you wash your mouth 29 times, he says. Nicely. This Sanatana Goswami says in Hari Bhakti Vilas. All these hygienic things. Then he says, how should one eat? One should eat half your belly full when you eat. Right? In Christianity, they say, gluttony is a sin, right? Gluttony means eating till the glut. Right? It's sinful, even in Christianity. So when a devotee eats, he should eat half the belly. Jai, Shri Radha Gokulanand ki, jai. Half the belly of solid, then quarter for water, and then he should leave quarter of the stomach for air circulation. And how should one eat? What should be the mood? Aham vaishva naro bhutva praninam deham ashritaha. Krishna is waiting. Krishna is in the belly. And I should meditate on him when I eat. Because he is the digestive fire. And if you meditate on Krishna, and he is there in everybody's stomach, as well as he is in everybody's heart, right? In both places. But if you meditate on him when you eat, Madhvacharya says that the fire becomes even pleased. When you eat to please the Lord, this body is a vehicle, and he himself, the Lord himself, is waiting in our belly to digest our food. And if you sincerely meditate on the Lord becomes extremely pleased. And the Lord blesses us. It is said, Madhvacharya even says, especially in, if you see Madhvites, their Ekadashi, nobody eats. They only have three times Achman. Keshavayanama, Narayanayanama, Madhavayanama. No pizzas. No French fries. They are very strict. For them, Ekadashi is the most important day to remember the Lord. And because you are able to fast, then they wake up whole night doing kirtan. And it's called Harivasara, meditating on the Lord, right? Because upavasa, the word upavas, Ekadashi, it has two meanings. One is upavas, is to fast. Second, upavasa. Upa means close to, just like Upanishad. What is the meaning of the word Upanishad? Upa means to stay close to, learned secretly from a guru, by the blessings of guru. So Upavasa means to intimately, to stay intimately close to the Lord. That is why fasting is recommended. Because when you fast, I mean you have to forget, when you fast and think about prasadam all the time, that's different. That's why Prabhupada said, eat something and meditate on the Lord. But the real meaning of Ekadashi is where I give up everything, every other desire. And my only desire is to completely surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord. And of course, our parampara, Prabhupada was very practical. He did not want us to just sit down. He wanted us to be active. So if one can be active and yet fast at the same time, right? It is a double bonus, so to speak. So in this way, if one is regulated, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says very beautifully, yuktahara viharasya, yukta chestasya karmasu, yukta swapna avabodasya, yogo bhavati dukha ha. It's very beautiful. When I read this, I was trying to understand dukkha, dukkha. What is dukkha? This material world is full of is ecstasy. No, misery, right? This world is full of misery. You ask somebody, you go deep into their life, there is some lamentation. Agree? That everybody is lamenting something. I could not be Bill Gates or whatever, right? So everybody is lamenting something. If you go deeper into their life. Only when you are self-realized, you can overcome this lamentation. But Krishna begins, even this verse, Krishna begins with Yuktahara. And Rupa Goswami also begins with Atyahara. So Ahara seems to be the first thing. Prasadam, food, in general, seems to be the first thing. What are the three purposes of food as given in the Bhagavad Gita? Anybody knows? Keep the body and soul together, yes, that is the third. But there are two important ones that Prabhupada says. It's very beautiful. Prabhupada's purport, I was amazed. Prabhupada says three things, the purposes of food. He says, Ayushyam Tejam Arogyam. Ayushyam means increase the duration of life. So what is the first purpose of food is to increase the duration of life. So if you eat too much, what happens? Right? We need long life, right? to chant and finish off in this life. So, increase the duration of life. Second is, Ayushyam Tejam. Purify the mind and intelligence. And third is, improve bodily strength. Arogyam. Alright? So food has such an importance. If you don't eat it right, if you don't honor it right, then what happens? It does the opposite of these things. It makes you dull, right? What is the biggest problem in America today? I live in Las Vegas, in US. So biggest problem, epidemic there is not corona. It is obesity. Obesity, right? It's basically eating too much and eating the wrong thing. Prabhupada was the one who introduced vegetarianism to the West, to America especially. And today we are very fortunate that all over the world, Prabhupada has made prasadam available. And by the way, there is a very beautiful story of prasadam. I was preparing and I remembered one Jagannath Puri priest, Panda, he told me, how did prasadam come to Puri? You know, he said that once Narad Muni, just like this story, wanted prasadam again from the Lord. And he was praying to Lakshmi Devi. He was having a conversation with Lakshmi Devi. And Lakshmi Devi was very pleased. And she told Narad Muni, I'll give you one boon, whatever you ask. Narad Muni, what does he want? Right? He has unlimited passport and airline tickets. Free entry, spiritual body. So what does he want? So he asks Lakshmi Devi, can you get me some prasad? He is about to say, and Lakshmi Devi says, wait. Only that, no. I cannot do that. Because Lord Vishnu has prevented me that I should not give it to anybody else. Sorry, I cannot do that. No. But you have given me a boon, you have to do that. So Lakshmi Devi laments and she cooks everything for the Lord. And next day, she's looking confused. So the Lord asks Lakshmi Devi, what happened? Why are you a little confused? He said, now I'm in two minds. You said not to give prasadam to anybody and Narada is insisting and I have given him a boon. What to do? So the Lord says, let's do a trick. I won't look at this. Okay, after I've eaten, you take it for Narada Muni. Only one time. Only one time. Okay, I won't, and but you should do it in such a way that I don't look at it. So I will turn this way. So the Lord turns, and then Lakshmi Devi stealthily takes it, and Narada Muni gets Mahaprasadam. And once you eat Mahaprasadam, what happens? You fall asleep. No. Narada Muni started dancing ecstatically. He was chanting and dancing and going everywhere. And he did not even realize that he went on the wrong side of the road. Of course, there is no road. He landed up in Kailasa. And in Kailasa, he was started dancing in front of Lord Shiva. Ecstatically. And Lord Shiva is thinking, he is usually the happy guy. But today he is extraordinarily happy. What's wrong? So Lord Shiva asks him, calm down. Can you tell me the reason for this? So he says, I got the Mahaprasadam of Lord Vishnu. So then Lord Shiva, just hearing it, became ecstatic. Oh, you got Mahaprasadam of Lord Vishnu. Then after some time he began to think, where is my portion? Right? Usually you see, whenever somebody goes or comes back from India, right? Vrindavan, Mayapur, what do you ask? Did you bring some maha? Did you bring some prasad, right? That's all they ask. So he asked Narada Muni, okay, do you get some left? Because now you have announced it, right? So Narada Muni is now thinking, oh my God, what did I do? I told the secret now. I don't have any prasadam. So he's looking around and he looks at one corner of his nail. There is a little bit of mahaprasadam. Mahaprasadam doesn't depend on quantity. It just depends on the quality. So he says, this is all I have, but this is enough for you. So now, Lord Shiva, he just tastes. He puts that finger in his mouth and he just tastes. And then what happens to Lord Shiva? Now he starts dancing. And Lord Shiva's dance is a bit hard for Mother Earth to take. So he starts dancing and dancing and jumping everywhere, and everybody is now thinking there was one mad guy running around. Now there are two people who are running around this earth. Now Parvati Devi thinks if he dances a little bit more, there will be fire. So Parvati Devi begins to ask, now kind of tries to dance around with him and say, okay, tell me what happened. So he told the whole story. I got Mahaprasadam of the Lord from Narada Muni. So Parvati Devi begins, for one moment she was very ecstatic. And next moment she became angry. Where is my portion? Right? Where is my portion? So Lord Shiva now is thinking, what do I do? And then Parvati Devi begins to dance in anger. Right? When Durga Devi, when she is in anger, she is throwing around her trident and everything is on fire. And then everybody rushes to Brahma. Oh, this prasadam epidemic is pretty dangerous. We need to do something about it. So Lord Brahma immediately WhatsApps Vishnu or whatever, and he goes to the milk ocean and he petitions, oh Lord, please do something. Your prasadam is setting the whole universe on fire. So the Lord, it is said, immediately comes to Parvati Devi. And he tells her, I will fulfill your request. But Parvati Devi says, I know you will fulfill my request, but that's not what I want. I want you to give prasadam to the entire universe, anybody and everybody. And this is Parvati Devi's desire. So what does the Lord do? The Lord tells her, I will come down as Lord Jagannath. And because you are the reason for me to make this decision, you will be the first one to receive prasadam every day after I have eaten. So Parvati Devi resides in the inner courtyard of Jagannath temple, and she is called Bimala Devi. And after Jagannath, the first prasadam goes to Bimala Devi, and then it goes everywhere else to Anand Bazaar and, you know, wherever it goes. But first it goes to Parvati Devi. And because your husband, Lord Shiva, refused to give you prasadam or could not provide you, he will be in the outer courtyard. So Lord Shiva's temple is in the outer courtyard and he will get prasadam later. But first you will get. So he gives her a special honor because of her request to the Lord. And her request was not for herself. Her request was for everyone. So she requested, that's the mood of a devotee, because that's the mood of Radharani also. Because Radharani wants Krishna to not just enjoy with her, but she wants to engage anybody and everybody in the service of the Lord. And that is the mood of the devotee. We don't just want to take credit, or we just don't want to, you know, take all the mercy ourselves. But we know by distributing, we get more. Right? It's like the Amway network. The more clients you have, the more mercy you get. So this is the speciality of Lord Chaitanya's mercy, that the more you distribute, a Mayavadi thinks, this is the opposite of Mayavad, right? Mayavad, they think, if I give my knowledge to my disciple, I become empty. But spiritual knowledge is such, so that is why it's Vedanta. Some people cannot understand Vedanta. Some people think Vedanta, this is it. That's the Mayavadi things. This is it, I have become God. This is the end. But Vedanta for a devotee is not the end, but it is the beginning. It is the beginning of Krishna's unlimited realization of Krishna. And that is why we eat all the time. But feeding the Lord actually with love and devotion in every temple, this is the main ritual. Once, you must be knowing in South India, there is this temple, Padmanabha Swami Temple. One of the richest temple in the world, right? Millions, there were cellars and cellars of gold which are there. And somehow or the other, the Kerala government, they opened this door and a lot of people started eyeing that gold and it became public. There are astrologers in Kerala, because I do astrology, I study this very deeply. They do Ashtamangala Deva Prashna. Ashtamangala Deva Prashna means they put eight directions. They put these coconut shells and they make a question. And depending on which coconut shell moves, which water moves in which direction, you know, clockwise, anti-clockwise, in those thoughts, they make a decision. What went wrong in the temple? And their conclusion, why this temple, you know, it became such a public thing and all the riches of the Lord were exposed to the public and all this happened. There were two conclusions. He said, you are not feeding the Lord enough. Number one, that's the root of trouble. Second, you are not singing for the Lord enough. They found, and actually when they examined, they found that there are so many shaligrams, not just the Lord, but there were so many shaligrams in the temple sanctum. There was 1,000 kgs of rice offered every day. And they thought, all the pujaris thought, you know, why so much? They reduced it to 300, too much to carry. Right? Too much to carry a day. And they reduced it to 300. And in the evening, they used to sing, all the brahmanas, they used to sing for the Lord. Now they reduced that also. The Lord became unhappy. And when the Lord becomes unhappy, then he doesn't want to stay there. So for the Lord, when you make something less, when you reduce his prasadam, he doesn't want to live there anymore. Lord itself. So therefore, we see in Puri, they are very diligent in the prasadam because they know that the Lord is attracted to what they cook. And Lakshmi Devi herself is cooking for the Lord. And they know that the Lord is manifesting this pastime, these huge quantities of prasadam for the entire universe. Literally the whole town of Puri just feeds on this Mahaprasadam. So our movement also, we subsist on Prasadam and Maha Maha Prasadam. Srila Prabhupada says that just by eating this Mahaprasadam, that's why during Prabhupada's time, just by eating Prabhupada's Maha, so many got such ecstatic mercy. Wonderful mercy. They became pure devotees. It's just unimaginable what these people were and how they became. Just by eating the Maha Maha Prasadam. And Prabhupada says, our movement should make pure devotees so that their remnants can be eaten by others and they become purified and become pure devotees as well. So what is our duty? To become pure devotees. So we have a big responsibility in Srila Prabhupada's movement to chant and to value this prasadam. Sometimes it all depends on our consciousness. Once I was in Pune Yatra and very hungry after the whole lecture and everything, and all the devotees were singing ecstatically, waiting for Maharaj to come and eat. And I was young, I was very hungry. Said, why should you wait so much? We should just eat. But after some time, when I fasted and when Maharaj came and there was such ecstatic kirtan, I realized it was not just about eating, but the mood with which you eat. When you eat in a happy mood, it is said even in general, when you eat in a happy mood, the food digests better. Right? It is said one should not eat when you are upset, when you are angry. Right? That same food becomes poison. Right? What are the three purposes of food? First is increase duration of life, right? Purify the mind and aid bodily strength. But then when it is eaten in the proper mood, the food gives you that benefit. That prasadam gives you that benefit. And it should be eaten with that kind of love, and it produces that love. So Srila Prabhupada wanted us to be very, very practical. Very, very practical. And one of the most wonderful things I saw that Prabhupada introduced, I was amazed how Prabhupada would eat so much puri. Right? Usually we say, don't eat fried, don't eat this, don't eat that. And Prabhupada would eat finger chips. Right? What is finger chips? It's French fries, right? Prabhupada would eat French fries, Prabhupada would eat puris. I was amazed, how could Prabhupada eat? But then I realized that before any feast, Prabhupada would first make ghee. And when you fry in ghee, there is a pastime during Prabhupada's last days in Vrindavan, and Bhakti Charu Maharaj was cooking for Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, I wanted some red chili in the prasadam, red chili. And Bhakti Charu Maharaj refused. Prabhupada, you are already so weak. How can I put red chili? Then Prabhupada said, if you fry it in ghee, if you actually saute it in ghee, it loses its very hotness. You know, that can bite you, that can burn you, that will go away. Because ghee is meant to purify. Ghee is meant to improve your digestion. That's why Prabhupada first made ghee and then used to cook in ghee. And Prabhupada said that in our stomach, Vaishvanara is Vishnu. And yajna becomes complete when you cook in ghee and take the prasadam. That ghee makes the yajna successful. From then I started demanding ghee in our temple. Then they said, this guy is reading too much. So, Prabhupada actually says that the Vaishvanara, Agni, Lord Vishnu, is satisfied, of course. One, by meditating. Second is when you eat cooked in ghee, in quality prasadam, you know. Of course, today there is a big vegan movement, you know. And that is why there is a big push for Ahimsa milk, right? I think Manor is doing a big push towards that, and ISKCON in general, we are becoming very conscious that mother cow it's very important to take, because without ghee, no food becomes purified. You know, Srila Prabhupada, that's why he cooked everything in ghee, and ghee actually purified, and ghee is actually very digesting. In Ayurveda, all the medicinal ghee, you know, like ghee, ghrata, it's all herbs are mixed with ghee and then ingested. Because that's when it digests, you know, in Ayurveda. And oil was never used for cooking in the Vedic time because everybody had cow. And there is only one oil according to Ayurveda. Tilasya iti taila. That which comes from til is tail. That's it. Now everything is, they take oil out of everything. So, prasadam is very, very sacred. And in these pastimes, we realize the importance of prasadam. And how prasadam is very, very beneficial. How it is important to cook right, to cook with love and eat with proper loving devotion. Sit down with a cool mind. I was serving Jayadvait Maharaj for 3 months. And I liked the way he ate. Because he ate very little. I was wondering how he survived. Because he used to sit for 10-12 hours editing. Right? He used to sit, he will read, he will put the book or the computer and he will read each sentence, meditate on each word. I was amazed. Morning, 1 o'clock, 1:30, sometimes late, latest by 2:30 is up. And he would wake me up at like 4:35. But he would meditate so much. But when it came to eating, he would take the plate and he would meditate on the prasadam. And then he would take very little. And then he would meditate on chewing, thinking. And that's when he said, you should eat meditating on the Lord and then meditate on the Vaishvanara. And it was simply amazing. You could see him. Maybe his health is whatever it is, but you can see there is a glow on his face all the time. Because the mercy is digested. So in this way, it can literally change our life. Fasting also. And this is a very important topic for me personally as well. Because we all get attracted by prasadam. But eating too much can also cause so many diseases. It's there. So we wrote this book actually called Food for the Soul. And we realized that if you fast actually Ekadashi, it is said one can prevent any disease or reverse any disease by fasting. One Japanese doctor, he got 2 years ago in New York, he reversed cancer by fasting. So literally, fasting gives you so much dividends. And when you eat at a proper time, proper hunger, like half the stomach, when you eat properly, prasadam. So, many devotees, we had a conference with a lot of devotees and we started fasting, 3-day fasting on Ekadashi, just like Madhvait. Starting previous night, it is said if you do 36 hours, you know, how to fast properly. Then, of course, after fasting, one should not have pizza immediately, right? So one should gradually taper into eating. So in this way, the body can get the real benefit of fasting, you know, when you gradually. And it is said, for example, Ekadashi comes just 4 days before Purnima or Amavasya, right? You heard the word lunatic, right? Lunatic. It comes from lunar. I have seen lunatics in my college. The guy next door in my college, on a full moon, he would go off. He would come outside, close his door, and he would start knocking, literally banging. Open the door! I'm like, who? It's you. So this was on full moon, every full moon. Of course, he later on, somehow we devotees, we started chanting with him, and he was completely cured. But it is said, if from Ekadashi, actually if you fast properly, then the pull of the moon, all these mind diseases, literally in Rig Veda it states, there is a fast called Chandrayana, full moon to full moon, where you reduce and increase. But from Ekadashi to full moon and Ekadashi to new moon, if one is able to control his intake of food, he said he can control his mind very easily. So food affects your, one should not eat too much, one should not eat too little. It's very interesting. Like Krishna says, right, in Bhagavad Gita, one should not sleep too much or sleep too little. There's always a balance. And if we can balance this out in our lives, the food and the sleep, then Krishna explains, dukkha, one can lead a painless life in the mode of goodness. But we have to come to the mode of pure goodness, right? At least goodness, but one should come to the mode of pure goodness. if we read the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when I was writing my book, so we put together how, I'll end with this, it's very beautiful, how the soul mixes with matter. The soul, right, mixes with pradhana, matter in its unmanifested state. And Srila Prabhupada says, when the soul mixes with pradhana, there is a golden effulgence. Prabhupada called it Hiranmaya, it says in the Bhagavatam. Now this Hiranmaya, the next state is, it's a Mahattattva. Right? Mahattattva. And this Mahattattva is in mode of pure goodness. Shuddha Sattva. Right? I was wondering how Prabhupada calls it cosmic intelligence. I was thinking, why did Prabhupada call it cosmic intelligence? Right? Okay. But the next step is from this, by the potency of the Lord comes ahankar. Now this ahankar mixes with sattvaguna, rajoguna and tamoguna. When it mixes with sattvaguna, it produces the mind. When it mixes with rajoguna, it produces the intelligence. And when it mixes with tamoguna, it produces the elements. That's when I realized that material intelligence is in the mode of passion. But pure spiritual intelligence is in the mode of pure goodness. But what is in between there? Prabhupada says the mind is in the mode of goodness. And when the pure, when it's purified by sattvaguna, by eating sattvic ahar and sattvic lifestyle, the mind can penetrate the ego. Because between sattvaguna and pure sattvaguna, what is there? It is the ego. So it is the surrender. So devotee has to be, Prabhupada says, at least in the mode of goodness. In the mode of passion and ignorance, there is no chance. So prasadam, we cannot make chili fries and say call it prasadam, right? So we have to cook in the mode of goodness. It is important. We have to sleep early. We have to wake up early. We have to follow the sattvic lifestyle. If we really want to be in that mode and get the complete benefit. And when we balance it, yes, then in the long run, Krishna reveals himself to us in the mode of pure goodness. Hare Krishna. So I'll stop here.